You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
A conspiracy of such ominous proportion that we will never, never know the whole story.
The wheel is turning and it gets slowed down. You can't let go and you can't hold on. You can't go back and you can't stand still. If the thunder don't get you, then the lightning will.
It's Sunday night and this is the place to be. The Taxi Dave Show. Boy, the St. Patty's Day parade was yesterday, and we have just as many people in our studios tonight. Oh, by the way, folks, don't go anywhere. We have a lot of guests. We have the commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation, Polly Trottenberg, is going to be with us in a minute. We're going to have Robert Familant, the CEO of Progressive. They're selling some medallions. We have Stephen Eplon in our studios from Perry Funding. They specialize in reverse mortgages. If you're 62 or over and you own a house, you have to listen to this, okay? I learned an awful lot about reverse mortgages. You have to hear this. We also have from last week, Marwaha, in our studios, and Mike Spivak. Nipun is a former TLC prosecutor, okay? And Mike Spivak has been fighting TLC summonses for 30 years. We also have Carolyn Pratz, my co-host. How are you, Carolyn?
Kuzulampala. Namaste.
And we have County Clare.
Hello, darling.
Boy, let's start with a joke and make everybody smile and start the weekend off right. So, this blonde, sorry, folks, and Clare is blonde, so I'm allowed to tell this joke, and my mother's a blonde, too. You know, I always wonder, why do blonde women dye their roots black? But anyway. this cop's stops this blonde who's speeding, and she has four penguins in the back seat. He says, what are you doing with the penguins? She says, well, they're my friends. He says, look, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but you take them to the zoo right now. She says, yes, sir, I promise I will. The next day, same time, blonde is speeding, same cop pulls her over, and there's four penguins in the back. He said, didn't I tell you to take them to the zoo? She said, yeah, I did. I took them to the zoo, and afterwards I took them to the movies and a carnival. Okay. And then, of course, my wife called me once and asked me, what are you doing right now? And I said, probably failing my driving test. Oh, but last night, really, I walked into a car showroom and I said, you know, my wife would like to talk to you about the Toyota Camry in the window. And he said, we don't have a Toyota Camry in the window. I said, you do now. Okay. So now that we made you smile and got that out of the way. All right. Like I said, folks, we have a lot going on. Reverse mortgages, medallions for sale, TLC summonses. But right now with us is the commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation, Polly Trottenberg. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be on.
Oh, it's great to have you back. You know, you were on once before.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Okay. So people are listening. We're in Manhattan. Streets seem to be getting smaller and smaller. We have bus lanes. We have bike lanes. There are more and more vehicles, or actually less vehicles, if you read one report, or more certain types of vehicles. So let me start with a question to you. In your opinion, as commissioner of the Department of Transportation, what is causing this congestion in Manhattan?
It is a bunch of different factors, and you mentioned some of them. I mean, look, I often talk about it. The city is the largest population it's had in its history. We're over 8.5 million, and we're headed to 9 million. We have the most number of jobs, the most economic activity on the street, buildings going up everywhere, as you know. Last year, we had 61 million tourists, and as you know, we've seen, because of that, a big rise in pedestrians, people all over the streets. We've seen, obviously, and I'm sure we'll talk about the rise of the FHBs, the Lyft, the Ubers. And, of course, people are now increasingly getting things through e-commerce. We've got Amazon, FreshDirect, you name it, making deliveries. So I think all those things together have put a tremendous pressure on the streets. Now, you mentioned bus lanes and bike lanes. And look, there is no question that we are also trying to design streets that can be shared by multiple modes. We've not put that many bike lanes into Manhattan, but I'll admit we want to put some more in, particularly some crosstown routes. But, you know, as I've sort of said recently, I think the competition for street space in New York City, particularly in Manhattan, it has never been fiercer in the history of our metropolis.
Street space is valuable, huh? So do you think that a cap on FHV vehicles or TNC vehicles will help with congestion in Manhattan?
I mean, as you may remember, I know, I'm sure you do, the mayor proposed that idea a few years ago, and I think we can safely say it didn't get much traction.
Yeah, we can safely say that, all right.
It was met with a resounding, not a lot of support. But it is also true, and I'm sure you've seen, particularly Bruce Schaller, has done a lot of research in the past couple of years, and has definitely tracked that even since the sort of the mayor's early efforts on that front, that the FHVs have really increased, particularly in the central business core, and that they are spending a decent amount of time cruising the streets empty, you know, in sort of the algorithm that the Ubers of the world are using to make sure that when you pull your app up, there'll be a car within a couple
of
minutes.
Right. They drive around all day, pick up an average of 5 fares, while yellow cabs drive around and pick up 27 fares. So yellow cabs, you may say, may be more efficient in that respect.
They probably are more efficient. And, you know, I think Bruce made some interesting recommendations, which is instead of potentially a cap or what's, I think, being talked about up in Albany, which is a fee you pay, let's say, when you come into the central business district, Bruce proposed perhaps you pay by the hour you spend on Manhattan streets. So that might induce the vehicles to use that time more efficiently. Or you could pay by vehicle miles traveled. So there are a bunch of, I think, proposals floating around out there. And I will say this, you know, I do know the mayor is sensitive to the fact that the sort of the Ubers and the Lyfts are in a different category from the medallions and, you know, trying to whatever gets created, try and come up with a system that is fair and equitable and doesn't disadvantage the medallion sector of the industry.
You were saying vehicle miles traveled. But how about streets? Do you know off the top of your head how many miles of streets there are in New York City? And if you do, how many miles of streets has the Department of Transportation repaved last year?
Well, we have about 22,000 lane miles. And, wow. Yes, and I'm happy to say that in the past 4 years of the de Blasio administration, we have resurfaced a quarter of those miles.
That's excellent. And does that include potholes, or is that aside from potholes?
Well, that's a separate thing. I'll get. And the good news is one thing that we started to do in the de Blasio administration, which I hope your listeners have seen, is we particularly started to add more night crews and get to the most difficult roadways, a Canal Street, a Fordham Road, an FDR Drive, ones that are very hard to do during the day. Do the big, complicated roads where, you know, drivers spend the bulk of their time and get more of those reserves. And I'm happy to say the mayor has, you know, included in his budget for the next couple of years, you know, equally robust resurfacing investments. So I'm hoping, you know, by the time he's out of office, we will have gotten to a lot of the worst streets in the city.
We now, like robust resurfacing.
Yeah, so he's you know, that's actually been a big priority of his. Now, we obviously have our pothole crews out, and this is, your drivers know this well, this is the pothole time of year. Bear with us a little bit. When you have this freeze and thaw as spring approaches, that's when we start to see potholes. But I have another statistic I'm proud of, and I think it's related to the resurfacing. When I first came in the door as the DOT commissioner back in January of 2014, I won't deny it, I heard a lot of potholes from everybody, from elected officials, from cab drivers, from regular drivers, you name it. Pothole complaints to 311 have, over the past 4 years, declined by 50%.
By how much?
50%. They dropped by 50%.
50%. Fantastic.
And so, look, these are New York City roads. They are some of the most heavily used roads. We have a climate of freeze and thaw. Our infrastructure is old. So I'm never going to promise you a pothole-free universe. But I think we have done a lot of good work on that front. And I would always say to any of your listeners, you can always call 311, let us know, you know, particularly at this time of year. We recognize sometimes a street that looked okay 2 months ago is now, unfortunately, starting to show its age, and we will get our crews out there.
Commissioner Trachtenberg, before you were the commissioner in New York City, didn't you work for the federal government?
I did. I worked at USDOT in the Obama administration. I was the undersecretary for policy.
Okay. So he's certainly an experienced person. I heard you field this question at the Fix NYC panel meeting, congestion pricing recommendations that Alex Mathiasen from Move New York put together. And I have received phone calls in the past about this and emails, and people are still talking about it. So let me throw it out there. It's not a softball question, and I'm hoping you can answer it. Why can't yellow cabs with passengers use the designated bus lanes?
The bus lanes, yes. No, I've gotten this question before from individual cab drivers and from the Taxi Workers Alliance. I mean, here's our challenge. And, you know, again, it sort of goes to the fierce competition for street space right now. In the central core of Manhattan during the busiest time periods, cabs are, you know, cabs and Ubers, et cetera, are about 50% of the traffic. So if we let them into the bus lanes, it will have a pretty big effect on the speed of the buses. And, you know, if you follow what's happening on the bus front, there is also, a, you know, just a huge debate right now in the taxi industry, new technologies, drivers, all the things that are happening in your industry. On the bus side of the ledger, there is enormous pressure, too, to improve the performance of buses in New York City. Ridership numbers for buses in the past few years have been declining. A whole coalition of advocates has put out a report demanding the city and the MTA do better. The comptroller, Scott Stringer, put out a report. I just received a letter about a month ago from over half the city council demanding I do more to speed up buses. So it's not an easy call, and I understand why, of course, the cabs would want to go in the bus lanes, but the buses do carry a lot more people. And if we let all the cabs in, I think, unfortunately, that would really slow down what is already, unfortunately, a bunch of buses not moving at the speed.
Well, I don't know what to say to a cab driver who tells me that at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning on Madison Avenue, if there are deliveries being made, and he still can't go into the bus lane because he'll get a summons. I mean, that seems, rush hour.
In the morning, yeah, I mean, hopefully 2 in the morning he's doing okay in the travel lane, and he can pull in the bus lane to let someone off, but he can't drive in it. But hopefully 2 in the morning he's not facing big traffic unless something obviously very strange is happening.
And also, yellow cabs, you know, just for the record, are pretty much the same number as they always have been. There hasn't been an increase. And any increase was offset by the 1,000 medallions in storage at the Taxi Limousine Commission. So, those, you know, here in Taxi Dave world, it's the FHVs that we look at as the real cause of the congestion in Manhattan.
I hear you. And I understand, obviously, this is one I think, you know, people of goodwill can disagree. I just think if you sort of look in, I think the pressure on the other side to improve bus performances at this point with bus ridership declining, it's hard for me to sort of say, okay, let's do things that are going to slow the buses down further. But I do want to highlight one thing on the congestion front. As you know, obviously, as Albany and the governor are debating a bigger congestion plan, the mayor did roll out some congestion proposals. And one I want to highlight, because when I heard from the cabbies about how they feel about the bus lanes, another thing I heard a lot of frustration from them is that we had banned too many turns in Midtown. That had been done over the years, in some cases to help smooth traffic, in other cases potentially to reduce conflicts. But we have gone back now and restored 29 of the turns all throughout Midtown that we had previously banned. I'm hoping that will make life a little easier for the cab drivers.
I know my co-host John McDonough always complains, now I can't turn on 23rd Street. What are they doing? They're making the city smaller.
Well, we undid 29 of those, and if it goes well, we may undo some more. So hopefully that's a small bit of help for your listeners.
Okay, and also with bus ridership down, some people attribute that to the ride sharing. So, you know, there is a market for ride sharing. I understand that. And the funny thing is, they don't pay 50 cents on each fare to the MTA. So here we are in the yellow taxi industry paying 50 cents to the MTA, in a sense supporting our competitor, and yet the vehicles possibly most responsible for taking away MTA business don't pay them anything. So that's just a point of information, that the way I see it.
To be fair, they do pay a portion of the sales tax that they
Yes, they do. And a portion of that goes back to the city.
Correct. And a portion goes to the state.
So one could argue that when the state gives money to the MTA, part of that is the sales tax money. Right?
Right. Now, I do think, I mean, I think certainly one thing that I feel like there is a growing consensus in Albany about, I don't want to prognosticate too much about what's going to happen up there.
But don't, because you'll be wrong.
I'll be wrong, because I always am.
No, not because you always are. It's just that Albany, you know, it's black, and it's black for 12 hours, and you blink your eyes, and all of a sudden, no, it's white.
Well, that's true. But I do feel like, having talked to legislators up there and seeing what the governor put out and what the mayor has said, there is support for the FHVs paying some kind of a fee that would go to the MTA. How the rest of the industry would be roped in, I think people are debating that. But I do feel like that's something there seems to be mayor, governor, and Senate and Assembly all seem to have some consensus on.
You're listening. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies and Hereford Insurance Company. We're speaking with the commissioner of the New York City Department of Transportation, Polly Trottenberg. I know you have to go. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and answering questions bluntly and honestly. And I hope I can see you in person soon.
Yeah, and Dave, thank you. This has been a great show, and I know you've been a great voice and leader for the industry. And I hope our paths will cross again soon.
Thank you again, Commissioner Trottenberg, folks, on the Taxi Dave Show. Okay, so I haven't given out the phone number. I haven't given out the email because we have another guest. Okay, anybody... consider, by the way, we have people, you know, in our studio. I told you reverse mortgages with Steve Epelon, Nippon and Mike when it comes to summonses. We have Carolyn Protz here, my co-host. So real quick, in 30 seconds, anyone want to comment on Polly's appearance here?
I had a question that I didn't have a chance to ask
I'm
her.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay. It's kind of unrelated to what you were discussing. I know that she went on a mission to Kosovo, which is part of the former Yugoslavia, about 10 years ago, on behalf of Senator Barbara Boxer, to observe and advise the legislature. And I was just wondering if she thought it was more difficult to deal with Kosovans or the New York City Council. But if she wants to, she could give us a call in and answer that. I was just curious.
But that's funny. That's a good question. I like that. Okay. So now, if you are 62 years old, you own a house, I want you to stay on this phone, on this station. Get your pens out. You are going to need pens to take phone numbers. You're going to need phone numbers for reverse mortgages. You're going to need phone numbers for a credit union. You're going to need phone numbers for attorneys if you have summonses. You're going to have phone numbers coming out of your ears by the time the night is finished, folks. But it's all for your benefit, okay? The taxi medallion has been around for decades and decades in New York City. It was once the only form of transportation when you put your hand up to hail. It still is the only form of transportation legally accepted when you put your hand out for a street hail. Only yellow cabs can stop. No other vehicles. If they do, they are breaking the law. Therefore, there was some value to it. And once upon a time, immigrants came into our industry to borrow money to buy medallions. And where did the money go to? It went to the city of New York. They decided to auction off many more medallions in the years past, and to the tune of billions of dollars. So with us now is the president of one of those credit unions, Progressive Credit Union. Robert Familant is the CEO of Progressive Credit Union. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
Okay. Now, Progressive was started in the early 1900s, right?
Actually, Progressive is celebrating its 100th year of service to its members in 2018. We started July 12th, 1918.
It's no secret, Progressive Credit Union does have a book of business in medallions, correct? Medallion loans?
That's correct. Progressive has been lending money to New York City medallion owners since approximately 1960.
Have you found most of the individuals to be immigrants?
Many different immigrant groups have come across in the years I've been at the credit union. I've been there over 40 years, and I've seen, you know, the Russians and Greeks and Haitians and now people from India and Pakistan. Waves of immigrants have come and done extremely well being medallion owners, because the only thing you needed to become a medallion owner was the willingness to work hard.
That's right. And you become a medallion owner. Instead of being a driver, you now have a piece of the American dream, and you now have your own business.
That's exactly how the process has worked for generations. Medallion drivers became medallion owners. Medallion owners in many cases became multiple medallion owners. They used those medallions to support their families, buy homes, send their children to college. It's really as classic an example of the American dream as there is in any business arena.
So to that end, we were talking earlier, and you said, you know, Progressive may have some medallions for sale. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, as we all know, the taxi industry is under siege right now, and some medallion owners, unfortunately, have surrendered their medallions or been unwilling or unable to pay. And Progressive Credit Union is in now possession of those medallions, and we're trying to find the best strategy for drivers, good drivers, reliable drivers, regular professional drivers, to become owners, keep the American dream alive. Just because you know, the taxi industry is under some duress doesn't mean that opportunity doesn't exist. Opportunity absolutely exists now.
How so?
Well, some might say there's never been a better opportunity. We're structuring the purchase of the medallions for medallion owners in a way that if you're currently leasing a medallion, we can fix the payments for your medallion, your car, your insurance, so that what you pay to rent will be pretty much exactly what you would pay to own. And as
wow.
we all know, it would certainly be better to own your medallion and drive it. You could get a second driver to help you make your payments and give you additional income. So today, if you are a driver and you're thinking that this is the industry that works for me and you're going to stay, then you should become an owner. Now's the best time to become one.
How do they get in contact with Progressive Credit Union?
Well, Progressive Credit Union is located at 131 West 33rd Street. They can just drop in to our office any day, 9 to 4, or they can call the office, 212-695-8900, tell the receptionist they want to purchase a medallion, and they'll be referred to either myself or Robert Schlageter.
So what if you're already a medallion owner and you have a loan with Progressive and you're struggling? What can the Progressive do anything for that owner?
We have many people who unfortunately are struggling based on the new economics of the taxi industry, and we have a variety of strategies that we employ working with our members to help them continue to own their medallions through these difficult times. We know that the medallion value will stabilize. We believe income streams will increase slowly but surely, maybe not getting back to the lofty levels they were at once before, but certainly getting to a place where we can all have confidence in their continued use and ownership value. And so I urge any member of Progressive who is in need of financial counseling, financial help, come to the office, same name and numbers, 212-695-8900. Ask for Robert Famelant or Robert Schlageter. Just come to our office if you're a member. We're always open. The door is always open to help folks who need help.
So if you're a member or if you're looking to buy a medallion, what's that phone number again, Robert?
212-695-8900.
Okay, that's the first of many phone numbers tonight, folks. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Lacus Technologies and Hereford Insurance Company. Robert, thank you so much for being on the Taxi Dave Show. I certainly appreciate it. And you've given a lot of insight and put some financing rumors to rest. And, you know, you bring out a very good point. If you're leasing and you're spending X amount of dollars and you come to Progressive, you can buy one, buy a medallion, and own it for the same price, right?
Absolutely. And if you are a medallion owner, now is as good a time as any to grow your fleet. So medallion owners, lease operators, people who want to grow their fleet during this period of time when prices are a little lower, now's the time to jump on the opportunities.
Okay. Thank you for being on the Taxi Dave Show, Robert, and I'll be speaking with you soon. Okay, that was Robert Familant, the CEO of Progressive Credit Union. I knew his father, Arky. His father preceded Robert. He's no longer with us, and he was a great man in this industry, helped a lot of immigrants get into the industry, as did another great man whose name was Phil Pollack.
Oh, who's that guy?
That was my dad.
Yeah.
That was my dad. I remember, there were so many things. You know, there's a great feeling. It's rewarding when you can help people. And helping people is what we'll get to with reverse mortgages when we come back. Okay, so we're going to be speaking with Steve Eflon from Perry Funding, specializing in reverse mortgages. We also have Nipun Marwaha and Michael Spivak, two attorneys. One is a former TLC prosecutor. One has been fighting summonses for 30 years. They're in the studio. We'll take your calls at 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. Okay, and Lacus Technologies is revolutionizing the taxi system in New York City. It's helped to create and help the drivers, okay? You book through an iPhone, you save hours of travel, there's less fatigue, better customer service with Lacus, 24/7 you can speak to somebody, better financial management of all your fares, all on your iPhone. Join Lacus Technologies, you won't be sorry. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. You're a driver. You really should join Lacus Technologies and get the Lacus app. Okay? The idea is to get up in the morning, go on your iPhone, and get your cab without having to go to a garage. You get your cab on the street, if there are cabs there. Okay? It's been so popular, it's getting tougher. And right now, it's good to sign up now, because when they get more medallions, and they're planning on getting a ton more medallions, when they get more medallions, they're going to need hundreds of drivers. So right now, you should sign up. Go to the Lacus app. Do it after the show. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day. If you speak to them out there, out in Brooklyn on McDonald Avenue, tell them you heard about it on the Taxi Dave Show. L-A-C-U-S. Lacus, L-A-C-U-S.
The Taxi Dave Show.
Before you pay your next premium, check with Hereford Insurance Company. They have the most competitive prices, and they're specialists for the New York City transportation industry. They have workers' compensation and liability for medallions, black cars, car services. They insure ambulettes. That's Hereford Insurance Company. And Hereford Insurance Company wants you to know that insurance fraud is a crime punishable by fine and jail. So if you want to report insurance fraud, call 1-866-HEREFORD. That's H-E-R-E-F-O-R-D. 1-866-HEREFORD to report insurance fraud. They have a special investigations unit, and they will investigate.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
Tell them you're fed up with them and you want Taxi Dave to take over.
The way you came, or the way you go. Let your tracks be lost in the darkest soul.
Taxi Dave Show is back. Like I said, the Taxi Dave Show is back. It's Sunday night, 8:34. This is the place to be. WOR 710. Also, this... you better stay tuned next week, because we have a great show next week also. You know, happiness cannot be traveled to, can't be owned, earned, warned, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. And you will never do anything in this world without courage. It is the greatest quality of the mind next to honor. Surround yourself with good people. People who are going to be honest with you and look out for your best interests. And I have three people in the studio now who will be speaking with. The first is Steve Eflon from Pierre Funding. They specialize in reverse mortgages. Thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. When I first heard about reverse mortgages years ago, I'm like, wait a second. They're going to own my house. I'm going to be thrown out on the street once I reach a certain age and I can't pay it back. Oh, and I was brought up to say that reverse mortgages are no good. And the more I look into it, since I've spoken with you, it's a pretty good deal. Why don't you tell our listeners what a reverse mortgage is?
Well, first of all, that's a good point. The biggest misconception with what we do in the reverse mortgage business is first we have to explain to the people, forget about what you heard from your neighbors, your friends, your family, the guy on the street. The most important thing is with a reverse mortgage, you still keep title to your house.
So the title stays under the owner's name?
It's just like a regular mortgage. There's no deed that changes hands at the closing. Everybody says, well, the bank owns the house, the government. The bank and the government are not in the business to own your house. They basically want to make it easy for senior citizens to borrow money. And that's basically why they came out with the reverse mortgage.
So if I'm a senior citizen who owns a home and I don't own an awful lot of money, that sounds like I could be a candidate for a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, if you just look at a normal bank advertisement, they say, well, the rates are historic lows for 30, 40 years. Never 30 to 40 years, never been this low, the rates. The problem is, somebody who's a senior citizen on fixed income can't qualify for that program. Okay,
right.
You don't have enough income.
Right.
You may have spotty credit. Okay, so what the bank, what the FHA, what the government came out with is these reverse mortgages. It makes it very easy for homeowners who are senior citizens to access money from the house. Okay, it's based on age and equity. Okay, it's very easy to qualify for.
That sounds great. Now, how do you? Is it like a credit line?
That's exactly what it is.
It's a line of credit for the value of your house?
It's a line of credit on your house.
Now, the bank does it stay there when you need it, or do you take it all out at once?
Well, you have different choices. That's a good question. You could basically take a lump sum, okay? You could take monthly payments. The bank could pay you every month, okay? Or you could take a combination of the two. Well, there's different formulas. It depends on the situation. Every situation is different. It depends on age, equity, and your value of your house, okay? You're not required to make any mortgage payments with a reverse mortgage. Now, you can, okay? You can never go into foreclosure with a reverse mortgage as long as you pay your taxes and insurance, okay?
You can never go into foreclosure with
you cannot.
A reverse
what
mortgage.
The bank is doing, essentially, is giving you a checkbook and saying, here's a line of credit. You can
right.
do whatever you want with the money. You could, we've had people who go use it for business purposes. They want to just get additional cash every month, okay? You can do whatever you want with the money.
I'm going to give this phone number out right now for Perry Funding. It's 516-900-1500. 516-900-1500. Write it down. If you're 62 or older and you own a property, you own a house, your own house, you have to find out about this. Now, tell me why people should call you and not those famous guys on TV who talk about reverse mortgages.
Well, basically, we're a local company. 25 years we've been in business.
Not how many years?
25 years. Not as good as Progressive. I still got 75 years to go. But that'll make me about 140 years old. But the difference between us and the other companies, you call an 800 number, you see a handsome guy on television, and they don't know anything about your house, the condition of the house. They know nothing about you, the area you live in. Okay, we structure the loan. Basically, we come down and meet with you, your kids. Okay, we explain to you everything about this program.
Are you in the tri-state area?
We're located in Belmore, and we're only licensed really in New York and Florida, so that's really our market. Okay, so we like to see everybody individually. What happens when you call an 800 number is you're going to get a stack of papers in the mail. They're going to ask you to sign, and it's like about maybe 3-4 inches thick. We'd like to come down and explain to you exactly what you're getting involved with and go over the documents so you at least know what you're getting involved with, because there are a lot of documents that you're going to have to sign, and there is counseling involved. There's a bunch of things that we'd like to speak to you about before you get involved so you understand.
And that's 516-900-1500. So you can take a reverse mortgage if you wanted additional working capital for your business, if you were still working and you still had a business. What if I wanted to give it to my children or my grandchildren?
Oh, Dave, we've seen a little bit of everything. We've seen people take the money and use it to purchase a business, to pay off debt, improvements to the house. What happens if you're a senior citizen, you're on fixed income, all of a sudden your roof leaks or you need a boiler, you want to do your bathroom? We can access that kind of money.
What about rising cost of health care?
Well, that's another big one. I mean, back in the day when we were younger, once you turn 65 years old, you think, okay, I can retire now. I have a free and clear house. I have money in the bank. You're 65 years old. What happens 20 years later when you're 85? Okay? You still have that free and clear house, but your money is gone because you're on fixed income. So the answer to that is basically you have two choices. Either you can sell your house and move somewhere else, or take out a reverse mortgage where you really have no payments due at all.
And can anybody throw you out of your house?
You can't. As long as you pay your taxes and insurance, you can never get thrown out. You can never get foreclosed on your house. And you have to live there at least 6 months out of the year. So we have a lot of people who use the money to buy another property in Florida as a vacation home.
Really?
Everybody has a situation. Nobody takes it just for no reason. But the biggest thing, the biggest reason that we're getting for people to take this reverse mortgage is for a line of credit in case of an emergency. For whatever reason, something, God forbid, happens.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with older people is the reason the money's gone is because interest rates have been so low. And they tend to invest conservatively. And at 1%, you know, the money is not going to last very long. But I have a question for you. What happens if, for some reason, the value of the house declines?
Well, what's going to happen?
Something unforeseen.
After you have the reverse mortgage.
Yeah, like, what if the amount that they've borrowed is more than the value of the house at some point in the future? What happens in a case like that?
Well, the good news is they can never make you leave your house.
That is good
news. Once you access that money, they give you a line of credit. That's... You use it for us, you can never, ever kick the homeowner out of the house. It's your house, and you're still staying in the house.
That's the point I wanted to make, because I think years ago, that wasn't the law. So now, you take a reverse mortgage, and it becomes underwater, you cannot get thrown out of your house. 516-900-1500. Ask for Steven himself. He'd love to speak with you, right, Steve?
Absolutely. That way you'll I actually come down, I meet the people one-on-one, we explain everything to you, and make sure you're making the right decision for you and your family. But everybody you speak to who has a reverse mortgage will tell you how wonderful it is. The people who don't have one, right away they think, "But oh my God, the bank is going to take my house." That's the biggest misconception. I need you to know that, Dave. It's very important that the bank does not, this is an FHA program that allows you to stay in your house.
So let me ask you something. What if you don't show enough income? I just want to be clear with that. You're on a fixed income, and you have the equity in the house.
That's the thing between the reverse versus the traditional bank financing. There's very easy underwriting guidelines for a reverse mortgage. You do have to show some sort of income, but not as much as you would need for a debt ratio for a bank to get approved. And the thing is, the rates are pretty much similar. So why wouldn't you just take a reverse where you're not really required to make any payments as opposed to having a bank loan?
Are there any limitations to what you can use that money for that you get from a reverse mortgage?
You can use it for whatever you want.
Do you have to say, gee, I need money for this? Or you just say, hey, I have equity in the house. I want a reverse mortgage. Give me the money. And you make it happen?
You can do whatever you want with the money. They're going to give you a lump sum or monthly payments, however you want the money. You can do whatever you want with it. I've seen people without any heirs who are leaving it to the church. I've seen people who want to just spend the money. We've seen people go on vacations, fix the house. Number of reasons. But there's all good stories. Never really anybody you speak to who has a reverse mortgage is going to say it's great because they have no payments.
I have never discussed reverse mortgages publicly. Steve's in the studio. He's still going to be here. If you want to call in and you have any questions, at 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. His number for another time at Perry Funding is 516-900-1500. How do you like that?
Okay. 25 years.
25 years. My God,
74
you don't look a day over 26.
And you can get it on a co-op now, too, can't you?
No.
Oh, a condo?
Condo co-ops are very difficult. Uh-huh. Depends if they're actually approved for FHA financing, which some of which are, some aren't. In Florida, we have a lot that are, mm-hmm. but in New York, not many are. But you have to call the office, and we'll go over it with them.
Okay. So stay here. We'll get back to reverse mortgages. Our number here is 800-321-0710. I have some emails, which usually I read. Most of them are not very flattering for the commissioner who is on, so I'll just put them down for right now. The two attorneys who are in the studio with us, okay, Nipun Marwaha, a former TLC prosecutor, and Mike Spivak. We were talking before the show, and I've been up to, what's the floor now where you pay summonses in Long Island City?
The third floor.
The third floor. So I've been up to the third floor in the past at the old TLC, okay, right off Queens Boulevard, and there seemed to be an area where there were guys dressed in suits who were attorneys, or at least I thought they were attorneys, who kind of pick off drivers who were there or owners who were there with summonses and don't know what to do, and they walk in without an attorney. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because it could be problematic.
Mike, do you want to start off, or...
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So this is probably the most infuriating thing that I saw while I was working at the TLC, because literally someone once came to me while I was there and said, what do I do in this situation? It was just one of those things where they had to fill out a form and send it back to us to avoid a $300 fine. So I said, this is all you have to do. And she's like, really? Because I just paid another lady $200 to tell me to just wait, and then she'll pay my $300 fine later.
So she took $200 for doing nothing.
Exactly. And on top of that...
Mike, have you seen that?
I am against non-lawyers practicing at the TLC in general. But I personally have nothing negative to say about practitioners at the TLC myself, but in general, since there are licensed members of New York State Bar who are able to practice before the Taxi and Limousine Commission, I would strongly encourage respondents or people who receive TLC summonses to hire a New York State attorney when they're appearing before Oath TLC Tribunal. I think it's important for the driver or owner or whatever respondent characteristic they possess to hire an attorney rather than a non-attorney, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Surround yourself with good people, people who are going to be honest with you and look out for your best interests. Folks, if you walk in, just to let you know, folks, the Taxi and Limousine Commission, I don't know how many thousands of summonses are given out to drivers every month and medallion owners. And some folks find their way. First of all, there's no parking around that place. It's a nightmare. All right. And so you're probably going to be late. So give yourself an extra 3 hours if you want to be on time. And you finally get up there and you say, gee, you know, I don't have an attorney. And there are some people there who say they will help you. But what they're going to help you with is do exactly what you could have done yourself. The smart guy, the responsible guy, or gal, calls Nippon or Mike Spivak. Okay? Now, Nippon, how many languages do you speak and what are they?
I speak 3 foreign languages. I speak Hindi, Punjabi, and Urdu.
And your phone number?
516-742-7600. And so everyone that's listening in that language, Banjik Che, Sat Jado, Sat Che, Shunya Shunya.
Stop showing off.
Fine.
Say that number again.
No. So that's Nippon. And Mike, if somebody wants, you have 30 years experience. What's your phone number?
212-754-1011. That's the only language I know. 212-754-1011.
That's 1011. So here we have Nippon and Mike. Nippon, 516-742-7600. Mike, 212-754-1011. I'm going to go back to reverse mortgages with Steven, 516-900-1500. There are a lot of great phone numbers here. Progressive Credit Union, okay? They gave out their phone number, and I wish I wrote it down.
So
I almost gave everybody Robert Familon's home number. How do you like that?
I think he would love that. I think he would absolutely love that.
Yeah, he would have really loved that.
So if I could just get in here for a second, because I want to echo what Mr. Spivak said. I'm using Mr. Spivak because he said it very eloquently and very professionally. And I'm going to say it straightforward for everyone out there. Don't go to a representative. Some of them are great people and some of them can help you. But most of the people that I've ran into are absolutely atrocious at representing you. They didn't go to law school. They don't have a license to practice law. They don't know how to handle themselves in a courtroom. They're going to do more harm than good.
And you're an attorney with Razor and Kenneth now, which is a large law firm. So once again, if you have a language barrier or you think you do, Urdu, what are the other languages?
Hindi, Punjabi, Hindi, and we also have
Punjabi,
a Spanish-speaking attorney.
Spanish, English, 516-742-7600. Many of you who've been in the industry the last 30 years, you know Mike Spivak, and his phone number is 212-754-1011. These are good people. Just like Steve from Perry Funding. Now, you want to get your loan structured properly, okay? Banks can't help you the way a reverse mortgage can help you, being qualified for a reverse mortgage. If you're a senior with limited income and own a house, you have to be 62 or over. It just sounds like a no-brainer to at least call Perry Funding and see what your options are. because maybe you do, you know, you can't take it with you when you're gone. Oh, I have the house. I don't want a mortgage on it. I got to live my kids something. Well, you know what? You could start enjoying your life with your kids and grandkids now if you take some of the money out. Why don't you go on a family vacation? I wished my whole life, I wished when I was a young man that I could afford a family vacation. I wanted to do that so bad, okay? I mean, I was lucky if I was able to afford a week every 9 years. That happened once. One week in 9 years. So if you have the equity there in a home, what are you waiting for? You can't take it with you. Get a reverse mortgage. Call Steve at 516-915. And go ahead, Steve.
I just want to mention something, too. The idea also is to live stress-free. Imagine how easy it would be knowing that you have a line of credit just in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice cushion.
Yeah, and I was listening to Napoon and Mike also. You want to deal with somebody who specializes in what they do, just like these guys. We specialize in this. This is all we do. We used to do the regular bank financing, but we couldn't get anybody approved. So we said, you know what? We're going to do these reverses, and we're going to give people exactly what they're looking for. And it worked out very well.
All right. Program. JFK Mike.
Yes.
We miss you. I hear we're going to see you in the studio next week.
Yes. There's going to be a JFK / UFO sighting of me in the studio. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. I celebrated St. Patrick's Day yesterday by dropping a bottle of Jameson that I just bought in the street. So I don't
sacrilege.
Know luck or bad luck. Yes.
So let me ask you a personal question. How's your hangover?
Well,
never mind. I'll you don't have to answer that. Why are you calling, Mike?
Oh, anyway, I'm physically at JFK, and it's 60%, and the line is moving, so it's looking good out here. And I'd just like to ask the attorneys and the group in general what the story is with 311 complaints and due process, because I touched on it last week with a couple of folks. And just in terms of how are we able to vet, let's say, the legitimate complaints coming into TLC for hearings, versus the wackos who have taken it upon themselves to harass cabbies. And I'll take my answer off the air, but I'm just very curious. And I'm very grateful that you guys and gals are helping out the cab drivers. Nice. Thank you very much, Dave.
Well, that's a great question, a question that I've actually gotten a lot from a lot of people. I actually used to work in that unit where we take those calls. So the 311 operator takes the call, takes the information, and they send that information to us. Then we, as the prosecutor, as an attorney, go and investigate that. We call the person, we get all of the digital electronic GPS data, we check photos of the area based on Google Maps, and we actually test their story out, see if it makes sense, make them go over it multiple times, see if it's credible. And then if we think it's credible, if we think it passes muster, that we could prove it in a court of law, then we'll push it forward. So if someone sounds like they're off their rocker, we usually don't push that forward unless they've got evidence to prove it.
Want to add anything, Mike?
No, I think that's an accurate, you know, okay. First-hand.
So let me ask you something. You're getting started upon Mike. You've been in it for 30 years. Most recently, what are most summonses being given out for? What's the flavor of the month, as we say, or week? And bring that a little closer. You get yourself closer to it, or it's going to fall.
At DMV, failure to yield to pedestrian summonses are very high now, and I have a real problem with it because almost in any intersection in Manhattan, there are going to be pedestrians in a crosswalk, and the drivers can be summoned almost at will by police officers, and it's a discretionary call on the officer's part.
So what do you suggest?
What I suggest? Going to a competent attorney to try to put in your best possible defense, but it's frustrating because the judges are very hesitant to counter police officer testimony these days with Vision Zero and the like going on, and the officers themselves are under a lot of pressure to write summonses, and they do show up in court, and it's very difficult to obtain dismissals, but they're possible. And through diligent hard work of the attorney.
So would you say that if somebody got a summons for not yielding to a pedestrian in a crosswalk and showed up without an attorney, they're going to be found guilty?
Likely.
Okay.
And, you know, just to echo that, so Mr. Fiak was saying that basically it's, you know, the judges are kind of hesitant to fight Vision Zero. Here's the thing. Based on the numbers, the oath judges might be falling a different way. Because according to the quarterly report, the TLC has an over 90% conviction rate. That means settlements and convictions together. After a hearing, though, that conviction drops to 38%, meaning if you actually go and fight your case and try and fight it competently, you have over a 60% chance of winning based on the statistics, obviously not guaranteed.
So if you want a 60% chance winning of your summonses, once again, Mike Spivak, its number is
212-754-1011, 212-754-1011.
212-754-1011. And Nipun, Mawaha, your phone number is
516-742-7600. So please, everybody, fight your tickets, fight for your right. It's your right to appear in court. Do it.
And if you are 62 or over and you own a home, you have to call Steve Eplin of Perry Funding, okay, at 516-900-1500. You have to call. You have to see what your options are. I'm telling you, there are so many people who say, oh, me, I have a house. I don't know what to do. I have no money. I have no money for clothes. I can't do it. You're sitting on a gold mine. And you know what? Your kids won't mind, especially if you give them some of it, right?
Never.
Hear that, Mom? No, I'm only kidding, Mom.
You keep saying use it for anything, and I'm just imagining Grandma in Vegas at the slots. She's like, I reverse mortgage the house. Let's play.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something.
That's not really a proper way of using the money.
Yeah. My mother actually broke her hip in Atlantic City. Okay, I gave it away, Ma. Yes, I did. And I'm not saying this to be bad or anything. My mother calls herself a slot slut. Okay, here's an email. She insane. Okay. Come on, what if I... Oh, wait. Come on, I had a broken leg, was in a yellow cab. They were taking me to the hospital, had my cast removed. There was a bus stop almost right next to it. What a joke. Woodhaven didn't want the express bus lanes. We tried to fight it, but the city said, F you. We're putting them there anyway. What a bunch of morons. There's no trash cans at the new bus stops. New York City's clueless. Cap the illegal Uber and Lyft problems. Don't be afraid of them either, de Blasio. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's a function of cognitive dissonance. I mean, yes, we want bike lanes so bikes can be safe. We want bus lanes so bus lanes can be efficient. But we also can't be blaming cabs for everything, especially when there's 13,000 cabs on the road and 130,000 FHVs. Which one's really causing the problem?
Another email. Madison Avenue is down to one lane, barely between Trump Tower, police, deliveries, Uber double parking, other avenues with deliveries and Ubers double parking. Most avenues are now one lane. Thank you for that one. Well, why does someone pay $2.75 for a bus ride, have priority over passengers who pay $15 for a taxi ride? Ms. Commissioner, I invite you to come to Madison Avenue and count. More people in buses, more people in yellow cabs going uptown. No sense answer. Nonsense answer.
We're always looking to Europe for guidance on these questions, and there are many cities where they allow taxis to be in the bus lanes.
I even heard there are some cities that... There was one. I was trying to remember it. Claire and I were talking, but somebody had told me where they were, where mass transportation was free. Okay. It was Mike. No. Mass transportation was free. Now, how do you like that? Okay. MTA right now is calling their attorneys right now. He's saying mass transportation should be free. Because if you really want to get people and solve congestion, give them free rides. Okay. Yeah. And you know what? If you want a little better service, then take a yellow cab. Okay? So, you know, everything you pay your phone bill, there's money that goes to the MTA. You pay your cable bill, there's money that goes to the MTA. Gasoline trucks, there's money that goes to the MTA. Anyway, enough of the MTA. Look, Steve Eplin, final word to any of our listeners from Perry Funding?
Well, like I said, we'd like to meet the people individually. It's we free in-home consultation. If you have any questions, please call the office. We'd love to come down and meet with you. And the most important thing is don't get caught with a misconception. 100%. The bank does not own your house when you take out a reverse mortgage. The title stays in your name. You just access cash on a line of credit with no payments due.
516-900-1500.
Thank you.
Mike Spivak, Nipun, I got to run. We're just about out of time. Carolyn Protz, thank you for coming down. County Clare, thank you so much. All our listeners, next week, folks, listen. Maybe our last show, okay? Listen, we have some special guests coming. And if you want to donate, do I have enough time? Do I have 30 seconds, Noah? 10 seconds. Well, in that case, I got to go now. Taxi! Take me up to Perry Funding!